This is the Superhuman Channel, where brawn and brains finally meet. The following paid program does not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of the staff and management of Tri-Scepter Productions or the Superhuman Channel. Tri-Scepter Productions and the Superhuman Channel are not responsible for any claims, warranties, or guarantees made during this program.
Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled.
From the studio gym where excuses never apply.
It's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Hey, welcome back to another episode of Superhuman Radio. We are doing our fourth installment of the roundtable discussion on the acquisition of strength and hypertrophy, fast becoming a very popular show. I get lots of messages from people about how much they like this show, and I love doing it with my two guests that will be on the air with me in just a second, Coach Wade Johnson and, of course, Rob Regish, author of The Blueprint. Two announcements I have to make, first of all. Orbit Nutrition is offering all Superhuman Radio listeners an additional 5% discount off of their already low prices across the board, no matter what it is, whether it's a daily deal item that they're blowing out. Superhuman Radio listeners get an additional 5% off by using the coupon code SHR5. That's SHR and the number 5. So check out orbitnutrition.com today. Number two, you've heard me say literally thousands of times, I sell nothing. So if you like the show, patronize the sponsors. Well, I'm about to break that rule. I'm going to start selling something. Either today or tomorrow, you will see on the Superhuman Radio website that I will be selling a very, very highly concentrated form of astragalus root. And this is, we've done lots of shows talking about the benefits of astragalus on increasing telomerase, which improves DNA quality and replication. Well, I have a very, very high quality astragalus concentrated extract that is over 10 to 1 concentration, which means it takes 10 kilos of this astragalus to make 1 kilo of what we end up selling to you. It comes in 500 gram sealed, vacuum-packed bags. We'll ship it internationally. It is standardized for a minimum of 5% astragalus. I'm sorry, 0.5% astragalicides and 30 to 50% polysaccharides, which we now know it's not just the astragalicides that have the magic. It's also the polysaccharides, and that's why I like this, because it includes everything that's in the astragalus, even the things that we haven't discovered are beneficial. And we'll be selling it for $85 for a half kilo, for 500 grams. That should last you a year, as compared to lots of other astragalus products out there. So keep your eyes open. We'll probably run out very quickly, but I have plenty more on the way. So check out the Superhuman Radio website for that coming very shortly, probably in the next day or so. Okay. My guests today, everybody loves these two guys when we have them on the show. They have different points of views, but seem to always arrive at some of the same conclusions. Of course, Rob Regish, author of The Blueprint, phenomenally popular training guide. How you doing, Rob?
Doing great. How about you, Carl?
Good. And you are under snow. We know that you are on the East Coast and got hammered. And then, of course, Coach Wade Johnson, who is in Tennessee. And he is the guy who, while we all talk the talk, seems to be able to walk the walk. How you doing, Coach?
Good to be with you, Carl.
I always get a kick out of that. You know. I want to do a show. The next show I want to do is I want to include this, because I've been thinking about you, Wade, lately when I've been in the gym. We've talked about a lot of really good things on this show. Both you and Rob have contributed a great deal of information in a very short period of time that should help people progress. But how many of us really take it and use it? I've been changing up my training. I've been split training again. And I've been thinking about something you said, that you actually rest 7 minutes between sets. And I haven't been doing that. And I'm thinking, you know, here I have a pearl of wisdom and I'm not using it. I don't want to give this all away, but I want to do a show where we cover the fact that how many people want information, but then when you give it to them, they don't use it anyway. So we'll save that for a later date. But I've been thinking a lot about you with the 7 minute rests in between.
Well, we'll have plenty of material.
Yeah, I know. But anyway, today's discussion is about something that confounds many of us. We don't always have control over it. And it's the time of day that we train. Are there better times of day to train where the body is primed and stronger? And if so, what are they? And how do we adjust? Because our schedule only allows us to train certain times a day. First of all, I'm going to ask the two of you individually. Rob, do you train at a certain time of day?
I do. I train first thing in the morning, pretty much on an empty stomach, Carl, going in there. And I've more or less conditioned myself to do that over the years due to my schedule and individual circumstances.
Okay. Now, Wade, do you train at a certain time of day all the time?
Yes. I'm much like Rob in this case. I train really early. I mean, a lot of times painfully early.
Painfully like what, 5 a.m.?
It tends to be, there's a lot of 5 and 5:30 sessions, and unfortunately, when I've been real busy, I'm off for the remainder of the year with a group of clients. But for the last 18 months until the beginning of October, three times a week I was getting up at about 3:45, driving to a commercial gym and training a group of ladies for about an hour, and then coming back to my place and training with the training groups. So it's pretty brutal.
Rob, did it take time for you to acclimate when you very, very first started doing this? Were you weakest in the morning? Did you have to prepare? Did it take weeks for you to get up to speed?
It was a total change of schedule. It took, to answer your question, 3 weeks. After about 3 weeks, I noticed it became much easier. It seemed to be built into, you know, my routine, and my strength levels came back to where they were. And then, of course, I used that as a base to jump from there.
How about you, Wade? Did it take some time to get used to training that early in the morning?
It took some time. My background prior to really immersing myself in the strength world is I was working out and training to look a certain way. I was a traveling musician. So as a musician, you know, you're up early is like brunch. And so, you know, there'd be times that where I get up in the mornings now would be times that I'd be going to bed. So it took a little while to adjust. I didn't really have any issues with strength. It was just, you know, the getting up and getting motivated and getting going type of thing.
Well, that leads me to this question I have to ask. Do you sleep well, Wade?
Of late, for personal reasons, I haven't. But generally, I don't have any trouble going to sleep. I probably operate pretty good on 6 to 7 hours of sleep. So I would say by and large I do. If I'm heavier than I am now, the extra weight seems to have an impact on that. But by and large I sleep fairly well.
How about you, Rob?
Well, I think Wade hit it on the head. Once my body weight starts climbing above where I would say, you know, it's more than my frame was meant to carry, I start to have snoring and sleep apnea issues, which I'm kind of battling a little bit right now. But generally speaking, I sleep very well, although I require quite a bit more than 6 to 7. You know, my minimum is 8, and ideally 10 is where I want to be.
Okay. With that being said, now, do you think that training first thing in the morning, maybe not painfully early like you do, Wade, but do you think training first thing in the morning is an optimal time of day to train?
Well, you know, there is some research showing that the central nervous system tends to learn better earlier in the day. Although, to be fair, I've seen research on the other end of the spectrum which says you're stronger later in the day. Now, you know, personal opinion, that's very, very individual and subject to people's schedules. I mean, let's be honest. I found out real fast when I got out of college, you go to work for an 8-hour day. Those don't exist anymore. It's 10, 11, 12 hours. Sometimes I'm flying coast to coast on a red eye. So you get up, you get it done, and then you get on with the rest of your day. That's what seems to be what works best for me.
Now, what about you, Wade? You think
I'm in total agreement. I think ideally for me, you know, if I didn't have other responsibilities, but I was, you know, hypothetically I was going to get up and what I had to do in the day was train, and that's my primary focus, then I would probably be mid-morning, you know, or just prior to lunch. And the reason why I say that is I like optimally being able to train the time of day that I will be competing.
And
you know, but that's ideally, and for the obvious reasons. But I'm also like Rob, where it's one of those things, when I get up, that seems to be when I have the most motivation and the most energy. Of course, I've trained this way for, you know, 12 years, and so I get that part of my day rolling, and it tends to set the tone for the rest of the day, because some of my days are, you know, 18 hours long, and it's nonstop, and, you know, so I think it would be optimal if it was a little later in the day where I actually had time to get up, really wake up, have some food in me, you know, a little bit of hydration, and I think, you know, after a period of time I would adjust to that, and it would be more optimal. But, you know, schedule just dictates differently.
Okay, let's do this. Let's take a quick commercial break. When we come back, I want to talk about if there's any scientific evidence that there is an optimal time of day to train. We're talking today, this is our fourth installment on the roundtable for strength and hypertrophy acquisition with Rob Regish and Coach Wade Johnson. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. All of your favorite supplements are waiting for you at the best prices and fastest customer service at OrbitNutrition.com. Even some of the more popular supplements advertised right here on Superhuman Radio. They carry All-American EFX, LG Sciences, and Primordial Performance products at the best prices on the net. Visit OrbitNutrition.com today and check out their complete line. Give them a chance to fill your order. You won't be disappointed. OrbitNutrition.com. The best supplements in the universe are at OrbitNutrition.com.
That's the sound of 37 dumbbells. That's a lot of weight and a lot of wasted space when you can get the same thing done with just one set of power blocks. The new, quieter, urethane series power blocks with FlexPin technology are the heaviest and easiest to use quick change dumbbells on the market. Starting at just $149 a pair, power blocks can grow as your strength grows, all the way up to 130 pounds per dumbbell. Imagine a whole rack of dumbbells in the space of just one pair with power blocks. Go to powerblock.com today or call 800-651-1937. Power block, the world's best dumbbell.
I have never endorsed a training guide before The Blueprint by Rob Regan. The Blueprint combines the best techniques for building muscle and gaining strength with the best tips on supplementation and nutrition. Everyone who has used The Blueprint has surpassed their expectations in muscular gains in record time. You'll learn how to break through any plateau, how to make gains from every single workout, and all for the price of a single supplement purchase. Get your copy of The Blueprint today by going to superhumanradio.com and clicking the Blueprint banner ad. Order today and get copies of both The Blueprint 2.0 and 3.0, plus ongoing support on The Blueprint Forum to ensure your success. The fourth most abundant mineral in the body, magnesium, is responsible for 300 biochemical reactions, normal muscle and nerve function, proper heart rhythm, healthy immune system, and proper hormone levels. But most find taking oral magnesium problematic. Get optimum magnesium levels with transdermal magnesium oil from MikeMahler.com. Magnesium absorbed through the skin can elevate DHEA levels and a variety of other reactions that can increase energy, reduce muscle soreness, lose stomach fat, and ramp up heart health. Go to MikeMahler.com today. That's Mike, MaheLer.com.
No two amino acids have been studied more than creatine and beta-alanine. And no two amino acids have been shown to independently improve athletic performance better than creatine and beta-alanine. When you join these two ergogenic powerhouses together, you get unparalleled results. And when you bypass the stomach and deliver them right to the bloodstream, you get the best single legal performance-enhancing product bar none. Save 50% off your initial order by using the coupon code CB50. That's CB50. Go to ageforce.com today.
I've never felt a pump from taking a supplement. That's until I tried creatine nitrate from APS Nutrition. I expected to feel nothing, just like the NO supplements I had taken before. But this stuff really does work. Even taking below the recommended dose, I could feel the sensation of tighter muscles under the swelling effect of the pump. And the pump lasts for a few hours. It worked for me and I was a skeptic. Check out creatine nitrate by visiting APSNutrition.com today. Try it and you'll be a believer too.
Jumping higher, left and more. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. Obviously, we all can't train when we want to. Because, well, we have jobs, we have lives, we have things that we have to do. And later in the show, we're going to talk about when things get in the way. But is there any evidence that we're stronger at different times of day? Now, before I tell you what I've found, do you think that there is any evidence And I'll start with you, Wade. Is there any evidence that you think that if people, because of their circadian rhythm, that they would be able to be stronger at one time a day as opposed to another?
I don't think so, and I'm going to tell you why. I think ultimately we adjust, you know, to whatever stimulus that we face. You know, it's just like Rob, as an example, being up north, you know, on the coast and dealing with snow. You know, he probably now deals with that colder weather in a much better fashion than I could, because I'm as far north as I care to be. It's just too, you know, it's too cold, too much snow. And I think it comes down to the same with training. I'm sure there's studies out there that will pinpoint optimal times, and they'll vary for whatever reason or another. But I think ultimately the human is a machine that will adjust to whatever it needs to do. And I think that, and what that does is, by that adjustment, is what makes it optimal.
How about you, Rob? You think that there's a time of day where the body will tend to be stronger?
Well, much like Wade said, you know, I think it does boil down to individual differences and circumstances and what you ultimately train your body to do. Now, having said that, I followed the research because I was looking for answers for 10 years. And let me tell you what I found. It changes. every couple of months or years, you know, there's a different answer. I think the latest one I saw was pretty clear. It said that anabolic hormones and strength peaked later in the day, and therefore you should work out later in the day. Now, that's all well and good, except that I guarantee in a year or so you're going to see a study that contradicts that. But the one thing I will say is this. I think it's a mistake to excite the central nervous system prior to bed.
Yes.
You know, within a couple of hours. You might as well.
I completely agree. I wanted to address that,
because there's a lot of people out there who train late at night, 8, 9, 10 o'clock at night, and then they go home, they have a meal, and they go to bed.
Yeah, it's just not, you might as well drink a pot of coffee.
Dr. Scott Connolly was the first one to start talking to me about optimal times of day based on circadian rhythms and the effects on the body that circadian rhythms produce. Body temperature is elevated in late afternoon, and there is some evidence that hormonally, we're more primed, as you pointed out, Rob, late afternoon, to be stronger. And so the scientific wisdom is that those who train in late afternoon, they will have greater strength, greater endurance. And also there's some evidence that they are less likely to injure themselves. However, those who train early in the morning are more consistent. They train more frequently. And I have a theory anyway. I've always trained first thing in the morning because I feel like then I can eat all day long to ward off the damages and improve my recovery, as opposed to, you know, late in the day, get a couple good meals under your belt and you're in bed now.
That's absolutely right. And, you know, this is something that I just feel so strongly about since making the switch to morning training. I have a whole section in the blueprint about the merits of setting up a home gym. You know, life gets busy. You know, you got a wife, you got a girlfriend, sometimes both. You got a kid.
Sometimes none.
Right? You got all this going on and God knows what else. Buy a power rack, buy an adjustable bench and a 300-pound set and go from there. Put it in your basement. The commute time is zero. You bring the idiot factor down to nothing, and there's no excuses. You get it done early, and then the rest of your day, comparatively speaking, should be, you know, like butter compared to a heavy set of squats in the early morning at 5 a.m.
Do you think that there's any special preparation that needs to be considered, Wade, when we train that early in the morning, 5 a.m., 6 a.m., do we have to start making sure that we're in bed earlier so we're not burning the candle at both ends? Do you think there's any special consideration at all?
Well, I think you'll make the, you know, you'll adapt. I think we've covered that. But I think what will happen is when I've had guys that have trained in the evening and have decided to join our morning group is they just find that, hey, earlier in the day, I'm out of gas. You know, I'm, you know, I've got a young man that has been training with us for a few weeks now that generally trained in the evening, and he's, when I mean young, he's very young, and he's used to being out or being up midnight, 1 or 2 o'clock. Well, when that alarm goes off and he has to drive over to my gym, and it's, you know, we start at 5 o'clock to squat, you know, 4 hours of sleep, 4 hours of rest is not going to cover it. So I think more than thinking of being prepared optimally, if you don't, the body, you know, will let you know that, hey, I got to have some more rest here. And you learn quickly that, you know, staying out or staying up is not, you know, going to be productive, you know, for you the next day. So I don't know that you have to prepare, is that you have to adjust.
If you were, Rob, if someone came to you after hearing the show and said, okay, Rob, I got the message. I'm going to start training first thing in the morning. I'm going to alter my schedule. I don't have to be in work until 8:30. I can take my clothes and shower. If I get to the gym at 6:30, 7 o'clock, I can get a good workout and a shower and be on my way. Would you say for them to take a couple days off after they've been training late in the day? Let's say they normally train 5, 6 o'clock after work. Would you say to them, okay, take a couple days off first before you start this new program, or even take one day off so you don't train 6 p.m. tonight and then 5 a.m. tomorrow morning, 6 a.m. tomorrow morning? Or you think, nah, just shift it over, just maybe start lighter volume until you get used to it?
No, you know, my stock advice on a major change like that is actually to take a week off and get in the habit of going to bed an hour or two earlier. You know, as Wade spoke to, you kind of, if you're going to do more
I can,
early
I can actually
day,
feel Wade shaking his head no right now.
No, but no, go well, ahead. You know, if you're going to get more done physically early in the day as opposed to later in the day, then I think you need to bump your rest up. And the way you do that is kind of reset your bedtime, get into a rhythm. And then the other two things are, when you do start training early in the morning, number one, it's absolutely true that you need to let the body temperature come up, get the synovial fluid in the joints, and maybe do a little more justice to the warm-ups. And number two, take advantage of training in a fasted state, and or, you know, improving your intra-workout drink, liquid nutrition, because the body is going to be more like a sponge in that state after you've been, right, not eating for eight to 10 hours if you've been sleeping. It only makes sense to water the grass when it's parched, you know, so you learn to do that as well.
Wade, a week, I have to believe you feel, is too long to take off.
I'd never suggest that. Now, that's just because I'm a hard ass. It's just a fact. It's like, you know, look, and if I get too out of bounds with my language, just calm me down. But, I'm just one of those guys where it's like, make the adjustment and let's get on with it. You know, this whole thing of.
So would you train a little lighter in anticipation of the adjustment, or would you just go in there and try to hit your personal best?
Bring it and let's see what happens. Let's see. And then let's make the adjustment. You know, it's going to be what it's going to be. So let's go after whatever we're scheduled to do, and then we'll make the adjustment from there. And generally, it always happens when someone has trained, you know, in the evening or later in the day and is not used to getting up early. It takes a few weeks to adjust. But I'm one of those guys where it's like, you know, let's get in here and get it on, and then, you know, if there's a misfire or it takes a little time, but, you know, I have a tendency to put my foot on the throttle and let's see what we can get done. The less time we have to think about it, the better, so to speak.
What about food? Go ahead, Rob. I'm sorry.
That's okay. I think the difference that you might be hearing there, Carl, is, Wade, it sounds like you train physically. You're there with the crew.
Well, that is true, and that's really a huge point to think about and to point out. I think you're dead on there. Is you know, I've got my, you know, foot on these guys' throats, going, let's get it on. I'm not putting up with this crap. Let's go. You know, and I know without it being said, you know, this guy's going to probably crash and burn, and it's going to require me as a coach to, you know, to keep him in sync and keep him rolling so he doesn't get frustrated and quit. But even so, for me, when I have to make adjustments in my training, I'm like, I'm going after whatever it is I'm supposed to shoot for. I'll make the adjustment if I fail.
Yeah, and that's my point, Carl. You know, I got guys in Australia that I have to give advice to that I can't step on and say, get
yeah, sure.
the program.
Yeah, so, it's a different dynamic. What about that morning meal, Wade? How much time in between the meal and the time that you're in the gym? Because I've actually had problems with, especially on days where I've squatted, getting into the gym too soon after a full stomach, and I could feel that pressure on my chest.
I'm the more we do this, the more I feel like Rob and I have a lot more in common than we don't. There's a lot of times I've gotten into the habit of where I can stomach, like I'll eat a cup of oatmeal with a cup of berries or something like that, just so I can get something on my stomach and a protein drink or something like that. But many times I get up and I take a handful of stimulants if I need them and down it with an energy drink and I train with an empty stomach. And then when the session is over is when, you know, I'm looking for something to eat.
More and more people are training on empty stomach. I trained on an empty stomach this morning. Since I've been split training, I can pretty much get my whole routine down in about 40 minutes. And so I'm going in on an empty stomach in the morning and then having my first meal immediately after. Like you said, Rob, I feel like the anabolic response has to be even more amplified at that moment in time. But how about, Rob, do you have a problem having a big meal first thing in the morning and then having people go into the gym and train? Or do you think it's essential that they train on an empty stomach first thing in the morning?
I do not recommend a big meal pre-training at all. Having a big meal just leads to usually a big insulin response. It's going to shut down growth hormone. It's going to make you drowsy. If anything, you know, like as Wade said, a very small meal, you know, perhaps something low glycemic like a Granny Smith apple with a protein drink. But more and more, I have my guys going in either a totally fasted state or, you know, beginning to sip about 15 minutes prior to get it into their system, a high molecular weight carbohydrate-based drink, inclusive of di- and tripeptide amino acids, to get that into the system and fast. Why? Because all of the research that I've looked at tends to, you know, lend merit to getting, if you get those nutrients into the system, and they're fast enough, you're going to be able to work out longer and harder and therefore deliver more overload during the session. And my guys come back almost 10 times out of 10 and say, you know what, you were right. I'm doing great with that stuff.
Okay. All right, here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we're going to kind of change it up just a little bit. Even though it's kind of be a similar topic, it's the abstract of this topic. So you've decided when you want to train, but now all of a sudden life gets in the way, and it always does, doesn't it? We're talking today with Coach Wade Johnson. Wade, go ahead and plug your website real quick.
It's weightliftingdiscussion.com is the forum. Johnson Strength Group is where you can find supplements and ogreware. And you can reach me on Facebook anytime and email me at supersquat800@yahoo.com.
And, Rob, go ahead and plug your website where people can get a copy of the blueprint.
Sure. If you're interested in the blueprint, you can go to bodybuildingsupplements.com. Or if you have questions, you may email me at rsrmusclemass@gmail.com.
Okay.
Or on my Facebook page.
So stay tuned. We'll be right back. We're going to change the subject just slightly, but it will be very, very pertinent as well. You're listening to Superhuman Radio. We shall return. I have never endorsed a training guide before The Blueprint by Rob Regish. The Blueprint combines the best techniques for building muscle and gaining strength with the best tips on supplementation and nutrition. Everyone who has used The Blueprint has surpassed their expectations in muscular gains in record time. You'll learn how to break through any plateau, how to make gains from every single workout, and all for the price of a single supplement purchase. Get your copy of The Blueprint today by going to superhumanradio.com and clicking the Blueprint banner ad. Order today and get copies of both The Blueprint 2.0 and 3.0, plus ongoing support on the Blueprint Forum to ensure your success. CoQ10 is known to ramp up mitochondrial function. PQQ is documented to increase mitochondrial biogenesis and size. Now get two of the most advanced anti-aging supplements in a single capsule. Brought to you by Dr. Peter Rouse, CoQ10 and PQQ combined will give your body the mitochondrial energy and production that you need. And to make this offer even better, Superhuman Radio listeners get 20% off when you call 310-895-5385 and mention that you heard it on Superhuman Radio. When you take real performance-enhancing supplements, your body is placed under a lot of stress. Your organs need support. If you had to take a supplement for each of the potential side effects, estrogen conversion, blood pressure, liver protection, cholesterol control, water retention, androgen receptor upregulation, kidney function, and much more, you'd have to break the bank just to pay for it all. That's until Need to Build Muscles N2 Guard. N2 Guard does all of this and more. It's the only real cycle support supplement that you'll ever need. Look, if your organs are important to you, buy N2 Guard today at needtobuildmuscle.com. Sissies may want to stop listening now. Super DMZ is the most powerful legal compound available on the market today, bar none. Super DMZ will give you lean muscle and strength gains at comparable rates to the anabolic steroid Dianabol with none of the water retention or bloat. Super DMZ contains Superdrol dimethazine, not to be confused with other Superdrol knockoffs. Get Super DMZ while supplies last at ironmaglabs.com. Don't wait too long because Super DMZ is sure to be added to the government ban list. Go to ironmaglabs.com today. Melatonin is the best sleep aid in the world, but it has one flaw, the delivery method. Melatonin tablets are not efficient and can wear off too soon, leaving you wide awake in the middle of the night. Time-release tablets make you feel groggy in the morning. Now there's the Age 4 Sustained Delivery Melatonin Patch. This transdermal patch delivers a precise amount of melatonin from the moment you apply it and continues to do so for an entire 6 hours. This ensures a full night's sleep while waking refreshed and ready to go. Visit ageforce.com and use the coupon code SHRMEL and save 50% off your first order. Go to ageforce.com and use SHRMEL today and sleep better tomorrow. AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your questions. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn, teach, lead.
Listen strong. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. Talking with Coach Wade Johnson and Rob Regish, we're establishing the best times of day, and really the optimal time of day, I think we could all agree on this. I think the first thing in the morning, whether that be a heroic time of 5 a.m., 6 a.m., 7 a.m., or even if you have the ability to do it at 9, and you know, because your work schedule allows you, but first thing in the morning seems to be the best. Would you both agree?
I absolutely agree.
Absolutely.
Okay. So you get up in the morning and you're getting ready. Wow, we're getting feedback, aren't we? Do you hear that? Do you guys hear that feedback?
I don't.
Yeah.
Okay.
I heard it earlier.
It's gone now. Okay. So you established the best time of day. You're training in the morning now. Things are going smooth. All of a sudden you wake up in the morning and the proverbial poop hits the fan. It could be a variety of things. It could be something personal. It could be your car breaks down. Life starts getting in the way, and next thing you know, you're either missing your workouts and or you're just not going in and training as hard. Share some stories. Let's start with Rob first. Rob, when you started writing the blueprint, you were going through a very, very tough time in your life, weren't you?
Well, when specifically 3.0. 3.0 was not out yet, and to make a long story short, I almost died earlier this year, then woke up to something quite a bit worse than that, believe it or not. It went on for 8 months, and when the world is blowing up around you, I don't know about you, but I turned to the one place where it all made sense.
And where is that?
I went to the gym. And when I got there, a 45-pound plate still weighed 45 pounds. It did 100 years ago, it does today, and it will 100 years from now. And there's something to, you know, reassuring about that. You need to make a decision about what you're in control of and what you're not. One of the things that you are in control of is your destiny in the gym. It's a very simple, beautiful equation, and do not let the world take it away from you. You deliver the goods, you reap the rewards.
Wade, you're actually getting ready for a competition. And something has happened to you to kind of throw you a curveball, hasn't it?
Yeah, I guess it's It's been about 10 days ago. I was training when it happened, and I won't go into any real detail or anything personal, but, 6-year relationship, everything was cruising along just fine. We never argued, never really fought. I can probably count on one hand the times we've even had cross words. And, you know, like a typical male, if someone's not bitching and moaning, I'm going to assume everything is okay.
Right.
And, you know, I'm one of those guys that if you want something from me, you probably need to just ask for it. Waiting on me to read your mind or assume that you need something is really a mistake. And, basically I was training and, she kissed me bye on her way to work. When I went upstairs, there was a note that she would be moving on. So, obviously that throws a wrench, you know, into a lot of things. You immediately, all the typical reactions. Why? How could this be? You know, when everything was so good, blah, blah, blah. And just like always, you know, life a lot of times is in the adjustments. We make all these plans and we set up all these programs and numbers and whatever it may be, whether it's with our training or our house or business, whatever it may be. And then life happens and so you have to make those adjustments. So, has it had a negative impact on me? Certainly. I'm not sleeping very well. I have not eaten very well, but I own a gym. The bottom half of my home is a 1,700 square foot gym with over $100,000 worth of equipment in it. So for me to sit upstairs and look at the computer and go, woe is me, is not really an option.
Right.
And so, not unlike Rob, I mean, it's one of those things where, you know, I can sulk or I can go downstairs and I can get it on with my guys and do the best I can. The lack of sleep, obviously, and the lack of food have had a negative impact, but what you can count on, you know, is the gym is the perfect mistress. You know, it's just, it's, you know, and for me, it's sanctuary. You know, I know that I'm going to get out of that gym whatever I put into it. And so that's the one constant that I can believe in and that I can trust.
You know, I have to agree with you about the idea that the gym is sanctuary. When I was going through my divorce, lots of problems in my life, the one thing that was consistent was that when I got into the gym, and a lot of mornings I didn't want to get into the gym because I was downtrodden. But, you know, I had this rule, okay, I'm going to drive to the gym. And when I'm in the parking lot, if I decide I don't want to go in, I'll leave. And I knew that if I got into the parking lot, I wasn't going to leave. So that was kind of like my carrot. And when I got into the gym and I did my routine, no matter what it was, I always felt so much better when I left. And that's the same thing that people who are big churchgoers, for instance, so, you know, they have big, they depend on faith. And that's why I want to play on the, you said sanctuary. People who depend on faith to get them through tough times, they'll pray a lot. Well, going to the gym and training is almost like meditation in motion and prayer. And you always come back away feeling good. And like Rob pointed out, it's really important when things are going wrong in your life to have something that is predictable, routine, and consistent. And the gym can be that for you. So if anything, you need the gym even more so when life is throwing you curveballs. What would you say to that, Rob?
I would say that's 100% correct. And, you know, there is a biochemical basis for that. When you sit around and mope around, you know, there is a buildup of, I'll call it negative energy. But when you're in the gym and the muscles are under load and they're being stretched and they're being contracted against resistance and you're doing cardio, you are getting rid of, so to speak, a lot of that negative tension in your life. And if you don't believe it, you know, keep sitting around. It builds up. It builds up in things like your traps and your neck and your upper back. And, you know, people carry stress in different places. But there is no question in my mind, and I think in most people's minds, would even say, even the ones that aren't doing it, exercise can only benefit you.
Wade, now you've been going through this very recently, so this is still fresh. And when you train, do you notice that after you train, you feel better?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's one of those things, too, I think that is indicative of the gym family atmosphere, and especially in the sport of strength. And what has been amazing about all this has been the outpouring of support from like Rob. I mean, Rob was one of the first people that reached out to me and go, hey, is there something I can do? You know, do you need to talk? You know, something like that. And with my guys, you know, it's kind of an interesting dynamic. All of these guys that train with me now are not people that I've ever recruited. These people sought me out. And, you know, some of them is kind of a ragtag situation, and the gym is kind of what gets them on the straight and narrow, so to speak. Not me, but the gym. The habit of going and being part of something and then being responsible and being part of a team. So the big thing for me is when a situation like this comes up, like it has recently and in the past, is you plant these seeds as a coach or someone like Rob who works with so many people, and there are days where you have worked so hard and you're like, I'm not really sure why I'm working so hard at this. I don't seem to be getting the return, you know, and then something like this happens, and people that I have seen at meets a handful of times that I've judged them, and we've shaken hands or we have spoken briefly, you know, have messaged me or gone out of their way to go, you're going to get through this, you're a good guy, you're on the right path, you know, be who you are, you know, stand firm in who you are, you know, and so it's not only the gym, it's the outreach of the gym, so to speak.
Yeah, family, the camaraderie.
Absolutely, you know, I had someone hit me up on Facebook that asked, you know, if I was okay, and then she proceeded to tear my ass off for about 30 minutes about, what are you going to do about this, you know, what are you going to, you know, and I was like, well, tomorrow, and she's like, F tomorrow, I want to know what you're going to do right now, right this second. You know, this is a kid that's, I would dare say she's not even 30 years old, you know, and she found it important, you know, to like, you know, I got to reach out to this guy. This guy is in trouble. This guy's hurting, you know, and he's been nothing but kind to me, and I need to, you know, to return the favor. So yeah, there's, when you do this like I've done for a long time, and you've been fortunate enough to be exposed to a great number of people, you know, the gym and the outreach of people is what keeps me going. It's what allows me to remain positive.
I want to take.
I'd echo those comments 100%. And just as an example, you know, a lot of the people that I train, you know, in stark contrast to Wade, I've never met. I only know them through the internet. And when I was going through it, Carl, hopping from hotel to hotel, trying to keep a roof over my head and food in my stomach, one of the things that kept me going was a little thread on my forums, on the Blueprint forums, update on Rob. Well, this was made by my wife when things weren't quite certain whether I was going to make it. And I got to tell you, I kept going to that thread to keep myself going. People from Austria, the Pacific Northwest, in my backyard in Connecticut and Massachusetts, you know, when you read posts from people about the good that you have done for them, you know, you talk about a family, you talk about people that got your back. The lifting community had my back when the rest of the world didn't.
Yeah. Let's do this. Let's take a quick commercial break. When we come back, I want to talk about this notion of harnessing your anger. Does it work or is it more toxic? We're talking with Coach Wade Johnson and Rob Regish. This is the fourth installment of the acquisition of strength and hypertrophy. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. If you want to be superhuman, you can't eat junk. Finally, there's a protein bar that isn't just candy in disguise. Quest protein bars have 20 grams of protein, 4 to 5 grams of non-fiber carbs, and the only bars on the market with no sugar or sugar alcohols. I've never promoted a protein bar before, but these are delicious and unlike any other protein bars you've ever tried before. They're so good that Quest Nutrition is giving away 2 free bars to all my listeners, even free shipping. Go to superhumanradio.com right now and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to try them today.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in Can-See Eye Drops. I've been been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
Testosterone is the king of anabolic hormones, and Test Charge is unlike any testosterone amplifier you have ever tried, because only Test Charge has taxadrol, a substance that grows in only one place in the world and is only found in Test Charge. Test Charge will jack your testosterone levels like illegal agents, but rest assured, there are no banned substances in Test Charge. Test Charge is the secret weapon used by IFBB legend Flex Wheeler. And now you can join the pro ranks. Go to AAEFX.com to learn more about where you can find Test Charge today. No other peptide supplier has a more complete offering than Southern Research Companies. And no other peptide supplier can boast that all their research peptides are manufactured inside the United States in Tier 1 labs. Whether you're looking for IGF-1 Long R3, GHRP6, GHRP2, Melanotan 2, Mechanical Growth Factor, or PT-141, or hard-to-find peptides like Triptorelin or Follistatin, you'll find them at Southern Research Companies. Free shipping on orders over $150. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Southern Research banner ad today and do business with the most trusted name in research peptides, Southern Research Companies.
Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right. Buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The Triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the Triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of Triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
Build muscle, burn fat. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. I just want to mention this again for those of you who are tuning in late. We will have astragalus, a very, very highly concentrated form of astragalus extract on superhumanradio.com. This will come in 500-gram airtight sealed plastic pouches. And it will basically have a 0.5% astragalicide and between 40 and 50% polysaccharides. And we now know that the polysaccharides are as important as the astragalicides in increasing telomerase. If you go by Life Extension Foundation, Dr. Michael Smith's recommendations, he suggests a 250 milligram dose of astragalus at a 5% concentration of astragalicides, which would give you roughly 12.5 milligrams of astragalicides. There's 5 milligrams per gram of astragalicides minimum in this particular astragalus extract. So 2 grams a day will do what you need it to do. At 500 grams in a pouch for $85, it's well over a year's supply of astragalus. So look for that on superhumanradio.com. It should be up there in the next day or so. We've got enough in stock right now, I think, to handle any kind of onrush, and if we are back ordered, we'll only be back ordered for maybe a week at tops. So feel free to place your order once the item is up there. Okay, we're talking with Coach Wade Johnson and Rob Regish, and right now the subject goes to how to cope with the life obstacles when you are training with the intention of gaining strength, gaining hypertrophy, and life kind of throws monkey wrenches at you. Now, Wade, do you think it's a healthy thing to embrace
embrace the anger and harness it. And, you know, a lot of people say, like Christina Aguilera, who obviously doesn't lift weights, but said that the thing that drove her to be as successful as she was the fact that people would constantly make fun of her when she was a kid and say she couldn't do this, and she harnessed that anger and drove herself. Do you think harnessing anger is a good thing, or is it end up being more toxic than it's worth?
Well, I think the idea is that in any situation that it doesn't become overwhelming, and the driving factor of why you do anything. Can it help motivate you? Well, certainly. I mean, I've been told before that I would never be a good power lifter and my bench sucked and, you know, whatever the case may be, you know, accused of taking steroids, because my lifts were a certain level and so forth. And, so I think what you have to be careful of, and the hard part for all of us, is finding a balance that, you know, you can control anger, and it become a positive. It's when it becomes the driving focus, when it's driving you versus you driving it, that it can become a negative.
How about you, Rob? You have any opinions on harnessing anger?
It is potentially the most powerful, but also the most dangerous fuel. The short answer is there's a time and a place, and the place is the gym. Now, when it creeps into other areas of your life and your mind, that's when it causes problems. Let me give you an example. When I was in the hospital, I had a life or death episode, a fight or flight moment. I chose to fight to the point where I checked myself out of the ER the hard way. I don't know if you've ever been in the ER, people dying, blood, not my scene. So I got out. But, you know, ultimately, that caused more problems than it solved. So you need to keep it to the gym and beware of what creeps into your mind and the other parts of your life, because it has a tendency to do that. And if you don't catch it, it'll catch up with you.
You know, I did a show 2 or 3 years ago with Randy Roach, and I can't remember the name of the doctor who studied the power of intention. And he actually used mechanical force indicators and then had people lock into a mindset and then measured their overall strength when they were applying this mindset. So it could be indifference, and then he had anger, he had jealousy, and then obviously the highest form of emotional energy he felt was love. And it proved out, according to, and I wish I could remember this doctor's name. It'll probably come to me right after I do the show. But what he found out was the more altruistic the emotion, the greater strength, a physical strength that was produced. So those who believe in latching onto anger, let's say, while that may produce a force greater than not latching onto anger, it is not as strong as latching onto something more altruistic, like a goodness, a hope, or love, or so on and so forth. Do you have any opinions of that, Wade?
Yeah, I think you know, where people use like a tapestry, you know, the harnessing anger in a situation like that is only a color of what the picture you're trying to paint. And I think something like what you're mentioning, you know, something positive or overall, I think the big picture is when you're getting motivated for a big lift, sometimes it helps to kind of, you know, channel that inner rage, so to speak. But you don't want that to change who and what you are. And, you know, you latch onto those things that are good and that are positive, you know, like love, peace, and happiness, and all that happy crap that, you know, I'm not experiencing right now. But, and you're lucky that's all I'm saying about it. But I think, in moments, in small spots, you know, you can channel that. But I think the bottom line, the big picture of what is motivating is what is positive. And, you know, that can be love or, you know, or lust or, you know, whatever that may be. But I think overall, the big picture is keeping things in perspective and keeping things as positive as possible.
How about you, Rob? You have an opinion on the altruistic emotions being more powerful?
I sure do. For anyone that thinks we're getting all zen on them here, you can prove this to yourself easy enough. Go down to your corner drugstore, get an automatic blood pressure cuff, and lie down on your bed. Now, think about some peaceful, happy thoughts, and then take your blood pressure. Then, get real angry. Get as angry as you want. Get as get as cranked up as you possibly can about whatever's bugging you, and then take your blood pressure. Come back and tell me what those figures are.
Oh, yeah.
The important thing to take away from that is this. As I said before, there's a time and a place. For every time that you get cranked up and go into the gym, learn, understand, and apply the opposite principles to relax and unwind, because that's the only way you will find the balance that Wade spoke to earlier and bring everything, to center, where strength, growth, and all the good things that we're trying to take away from the gym will manifest.
Yeah, very interesting. Very, very interesting. All right, so I think we can probably summarize a couple things here. Number one, we can easily summarize that the best time of day to train seems to be first thing in the morning. And I think it's the most logical too, because then you ramp up your metabolic processes for the rest of the day, and you feed yourself every few hours for the rest of the day. So you're really getting the most out of your workout. Are we all in agreement on that one?
I would agree. 100%.
Okay. All right. And then secondly, life is going to throw you obstacles. There's no doubt about it. In fact, you can bet on it. And those obstacles could be anything from your car breaking down the morning of a workout to your longtime lover writing you a letter and slipping out the back door without you knowing it. And all of these things have an impact on our focus. But understand that getting to the gym is possibly the single best thing that you can do at those times. Maybe even more important to get to the gym at those times than on the days where life is just on cruise control, because you will find your center. You will be doing something that is familiar, reinforcing a positive habit, and the effects on your mental well-being will be rewarded as you walk out of the gym. Are we all in agreement on that one too?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. And as far as the more esoteric discussion about harnessing anger, whether or not you should think more altruistic thoughts, I actually do believe that thinking more altruistic thoughts are beneficial, than the anger thoughts. Personally, at least for me, I've played around with these ideas, and I've shared with you about my dad stepping into me when I'm deadlifting, and I kind of tend to believe, just because I'm by nature a non-confrontational type person. I'm one of those people who likes everybody around me to be happy with me, so I don't do well with the angry thoughts, but everybody needs to find their own path on that one. But clearly, using the moment of the event that is kind of trying to throw you for a whirlwind and finding that particular emotion in it so that when you do get to the gym, you can train as hard as you possibly can has to be beneficial as well. Let's go ahead and plug the websites once again. Rob, go ahead and give your website where people, and obviously you can go to superhumanradio.com. There's banner ads all over the website, superhumanradio.com, for the blueprint, which continues to get rave reviews. Give your website again, Rob.
Sure. It's bodybuildingsupplements.com. And if they have any questions, feel free to reach out to me at rsrmusclemass@gmail.com or my Facebook page, Rob Ragish.
And Wade, please plug your two websites.
It's weightliftingdiscussion.com. There's a training forum there. JohnsonStrengthGroup.com. There's supplements there, pictures, and ogreware. I had a gentleman email me that listens to the show and ask about old man strength clothing, and I'm getting some pictures for that.
What is old man strength clothing?
There is a story, if you have time, before
please,
we go to another break.
Yeah.
tell you, this was at a meet. I'm not sure when it was. It was before I competed in February. And there was a young man, Dave Hoff, who is, you know, one of the premier all-time lifters right now, 242, 275, 308. He's just an amazing young man. He's like 23 years old and has totaled, like 29-10. I mean, it's absolutely insane. And I've had the pleasure of not only judging him, but I've also worked on the platform with him as him being a judge. And we were judging a meet, and he was over on the side. I was in the head chair, and he was eating. And I asked him what he was eating, and he made this gesture like, I wasn't going to be allowed to see it, you know. So me being the smart-ass old man that I am, and I reminded him that no matter how young and strong he was, is that I was older and meaner and would just go over there and take it if that's what I wanted. And he looked around. Of course, there was a crowd of people around the platform, and they're all chuckling at me, you know, with my banner. And he goes, you know, Wade's like your dad. He's got that old man strength. And for whatever reason, that took on a life of its own. You know, every time I would judge at a meet, you know, don't mess with him. He's got old man strength. And as I got a couple of weeks out from the meet that I competed at, and everybody knew I was going for some lifetime goals, that, you know, this might be the last big one that I had in me, people from everywhere would post, you know, don't forget, Wade, you have old man strength. And even at the meet, people that I'd never laid eyes on, old man strength. So we came up with the guy that does my printing, came up with a logo, and I've probably got a half a dozen of the Ogrewear t-shirts that have the old man strength logo on it. And so that's how that started.
And people should know, the Ogrewear brand is really cool stuff. One of the most unique logos that I've ever seen, Ogrewear, which I had a t-shirt for years, and I don't know what happened to it. It was one of the Ogre deadlifting, I believe, is what it was.
That's the typical the logo, and there's a story behind that as well, but we can go into that another time.
Okay.
But it's really cool, and basically the long story short is I am the Ogre, when you see the logo, you'll see the tendencies other than the ogre ears and the ogre face, the facial hair and the earrings and generally the disposition is all remains the same.
Yeah. We have to take our last commercial break. When we come back, what I want to do is I have to answer a listener question that was emailed to me. And then do you guys have any questions that keep coming to you from listeners that maybe we can address when we come out of the break?
Either I probably have a couple that I've had some people ask.
Okay, so let's do this. Let's take our last commercial break, and when we come back, we'll wrap up the show. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
I've never felt a pump from taking a supplement. That's until I tried creatine nitrate from APS Nutrition. I expected to feel nothing, just like the NO supplements I had taken before. But this stuff really does work. Even taking below the recommended dose, I could feel the sensation of tighter muscles under the swelling effect of the pump. And the pump lasts for a few hours. It worked for me, and I was a skeptic. Check out creatine nitrate by visiting APSNutrition.com today. Try it, and you'll be a believer too.
If you want to be superhuman, you can't eat junk. Finally, there's a protein bar that isn't just candy in disguise. Quest protein bars have 20 grams of protein, 4 to 5 grams of non-fiber carbs, and the only bars on the market with no sugar or sugar alcohols. I've never promoted a protein bar before, but these are delicious and unlike any other protein bars you've ever tried before. They're so good that Quest Nutrition is giving away 2 free bars to all my listeners, even free shipping. Go to superhumanradio.com right now and click the Quest protein bar banner ad to try them today. CoQ10 is known to ramp up mitochondrial function. PQQ is documented to increase mitochondrial biogenesis and size. Now get 2 of the most advanced anti-aging supplements in a single capsule. Brought to you by Dr. Peter Rouse, CoQ10 and PQQ combined will give your body the mitochondrial energy and production that you need. And to make this offer even better, Superhuman Radio listeners get 20% off when you call 310-895-5385 and mention that you heard it on Superhuman Radio. You already know how great the Testo 100 transdermal
testosterone boosting patch is? Well, now it's even better. The new and improved Testo 100 patch now contains D-aspartic acid, stinging nettle root, and androstenotrione to increase free testosterone while reducing sex hormone binding globulin and aromatase enzyme. It's still made in FDA certified labs and contains all the great ingredients that made it work originally. But now it's even better, bypassing the stomach to deliver its ingredients throughout the day for greater increases in energy, libido, and muscle building fat burning effects. Get 50% off when you use the coupon code SHR4. Go to AGEFORCE.com and use the coupon code SHR4 and get your new Testo 100 patch today. Testosterone is the king of anabolic hormones, and Test Charge is unlike any testosterone amplifier you have ever tried, because only Test Charge has taxadrol, a substance that grows in only one place in the world and is only found in Test Charge. Test Charge will jack your testosterone levels like illegal agents, but rest assured, there are no banned substances in Test Charge. Test Charge is the secret weapon used by IFBB legend Flex Wheeler. And now you can join the pro ranks. Go to AAEFX.com to learn more about where you can find Test Charge today.
Listen strong. It's Superhuman Radio.
Yeah, this one right here goes out to all the babies' mamas, mamas.
Welcome back.
Mamas, mamas.
To Superhuman Radio.
Baby mamas, mamas.
Baby mama, mama, mama.
Yeah. Like this.
Talking with Wade Johnson and Rob Regish. I get these emails all the time, so I'm going to answer this one, and hopefully it'll answer a lot for other people as well. This one came from a guy named Ray. We'll leave his last name out because I didn't get approval for him to mention his name. But anyway, he says, I've had low testosterone for the last year. I've tried dialing in my diet, my sleep, my exercise, supplements, regimen, blah, blah, blah. I've gotten to get it straight. I'm now leaning towards taking doctor-prescribed injectable for 6 months and then trying to maintain with products like the Age Force Test Booster. I have three questions for you, Carl. You've said numerous times on your podcast that you take injectable testosterone. Would you tell me what you take and how much you take? By prescription, I take 250 milligrams of testosterone cypionate a week. I personally could do that in a single injection, but I do it twice, 125 on Fridays and 125 on Tuesdays, so that I have stable blood levels throughout the week. Number two, he says, I can't imagine that you would say just take the tea that my doctor prescribes without question. Should I look for a prescription online or somewhere else? No. Most doctors will prescribe testosterone cypionate as the first line treatment for low testosterone. However, some doctors will say it's too cumbersome because you'll have to inject yourself, and they don't want you to inject yourself because obviously they think you can't. So that means that they'll want you to come in once every other week for a single dose of 500 milligrams, which means you'll have this amazing surge for the first 3 days. It'll taper off, and by the middle of the second week, you'll be low testosterone again. And they do that because they don't want to make you come in every week. Because of the cost. So if you can get your doctor to let you inject yourself, he can teach you how to shoot in your hip. It's very simple. Otherwise, testosterone gel may be the way to go. And if it is, I would not settle for less than 100 milligrams per day in either a hydroalcoholic or a lecithin organogel base. So at least you're getting 10 milligrams a day into your body. Number three, he says he's tried going through my archives, searching for the keyword testosterone. But some of the older shows won't play. They seem not to be available any longer. Yes, we keep at any given time about 200 plus shows up there. I have to get them off the server after a while. So some of the older shows are not available. And there's really nothing I can do about that at this point in time. I just can't keep all 800 shows up there indefinitely. So they do the new ones rotate in. The older ones fall off. But I think that the answers that I just gave should suffice. And if not, Ray, you've got my email address. Please email me, and I'll be glad to answer any other questions you have. Okay. Wade, you get emails as a result of the show. What kind of emails do you get that most often?
Well, something, because we've talked about this before, I had a lady lifter contact me about her squat, and she was widening her squat stance and had stability issues. So the first question that I ask, and which is what I always ask, or I'll always ask if I see them in my gym in person, is what kind of shoes are you squatting in? And again, I repeat before I even say this, I'm not against a flat-soled shoe to squat in. What I'm against is people making a decision on the shoe and that it's the end-all be-all without any experience. And in this case, she was having a tendency to get forward and struggling hitting depth. And I always prescribe when that happens generally is to get some sort of Olympic shoe where you have a little bit of a heel, and the tendency will be then to lean against that heel and stay more upright. So she's in the process of looking for an Olympic shoe because it, as soon as she was conscious of the fact of having the flat-soled shoe on, she would start getting the depth, and the lean would come in and actually raise the hips, and when she thought she was deep enough, she would be still above parallel, the stress on the lower back, so on and so forth, and I get that a lot.
Okay. Okay. So again, the shoe, you're not opposed to a shoe with a small lift in the back as long as it's not changing the geometry and throwing the lift off.
Well, I think what it is, you have to, if you're having a problem, and I'm not able to see her lift or anything. She didn't have any video available. A lot of times when they squat in this flat-soled shoe, especially, and she's in the beginning stages of powerlifting. More times than not, it's a form issue, and I use the Olympic shoe. Most of my guys use an Olympic shoe. As a matter of fact, Melissa Garrett, who's a very experienced lifter, again, she would have issues of leaning forward, and we corrected that, working on her form, obviously, but she went to an Olympic lifting shoe, and that's what she squats in exclusively. So it's one of those things where you make the adjustment. There are people out there, like I mentioned, Dave Hoff. Dave squats in a flat-soled shoe and squats in the high 11, so it's really hard to argue the benefit of the shoe. But again, that shoe is an individual thing. It's not an end-all be-all, and because someone else wears it is a nice place to start. But you have to stay open to finding what's going to work best for you.
I love Five Fingers. Have you looked at the Five Finger, these new glove type shoes, Wade?
They creep me out. I don't know why. My son has them and he loves them. And I'm like, I could see deadlifting in them, and I've seen people do that. I would never try to squat in them.
Why? No, because no angle?
I would, there's nothing there. It would just, you know, I like having the shoe that's up over my ankle where I can lace it and snug it up and have those Velcro straps where I can snug it down, and I like having something firm under my feet when I squat.
Okay. Rob, what kind of questions do you get, and then we'll kind of answer those if we can. Do you get any specific questions over and over again from people?
Most of the questions that I get, Carl, are along the lines of, you know, will the blueprint work for me? Are there diets and training routines that are set in stone? I can only work out, you know, 3 days a week as opposed to five or six. And, you know, it's important for people, I think, to understand that the blueprint is a shell. It is a flexible shell within which you can work. There is nothing that's going to dictate to you that you have to work out X number of times per week, that you have to follow this diet or that diet. It is simply a shell that will magnify the results of the routines that I present or the training programs that the individual has had success with.
Do you get a lot of women who say the blueprint is not for them because it's for bodybuilding and building muscle?
You know, I've been pleasantly surprised by the number of women that have picked it up and had success with it. So I'm sure that keeps some of them away, but the ones that have picked it up have just done exceptionally well with it, and it just does not seem to discriminate based upon gender. If you bring game, the results are there.
Do you have any opinions on shoes? Did we cover that once before on a previous show?
Yeah, you know, I think, you know, for my folks, shoes are a relatively minor issue. I do have some guys that love the Five Fingers, much like Wade, though, you know, for me, I look at those things and I'm like, they creep me out too, man. I just look at that and a few words come to mind. That's not right.
That's not right.
But, you know, apparently it is for a lot of people. And,
I love them. You know, I love them. I love them.
I say don't knock it till you try it, and I haven't tried it yet. Yeah. So
I really do love them, but I'm not squatting the kind of weight that Wade is squatting. So there's other things to take into consideration when you get into those weight ranges, obviously.
Right.
All right. Well,
right.
Listen, I think we've covered a lot of ground today. Hopefully people have learned something, another installment in the discussion. Hopefully the best thing we could do is prompt you to think more, even though Wade will tell you that's a mistake. But prompt you to think more about your training and things that you can change about it to make more progress. That's what I mean. Not necessarily thinking about the exercises themselves, but apply some research and try to use some of the things that you learn here. Wade, I want to thank you so much for being on the show today.
Thanks for having me, and it's always good to be with you guys. Thanks, Rob. I appreciate you reaching out to me this week.
Absolutely.
And
absolutely.
Rob Regish,
my pleasure.
Good to have you on the show. I guess do you have to go out and shovel, or is that stuff melting now?
Now I have to start dragging tree limbs off of my house and shed and yard and driveway.
Well, you know what? Get a chain and do some sled work. That's all.
Hey, you know what? I do it every morning, so it's gonna pay off here.
All right, guys, thanks for being on the show today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And we'll see everybody tomorrow with another episode of Superhuman Radio.